Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Our first scripture lesson comes to us this morning from Exodus chapter 20 with various verses. Listen for these familiar admonitions. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our second scripture reading is Psalm 19, a psalm of David. And just pay attention to the way both of these passages in the Bible are really meant for you to learn from in a way that will help you live a healthy, harmonious, peaceful life. Listen now to the word of God. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear, or you could replace that word with reverence, the reverence of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, thinking about World Communion Sunday and our connectedness to all around the world and how these passages, this Bible that we tap into every week, is really meant for everyone around the world, not just for us Christians here. And so Psalm 19 says that the heavens tell the glory of God, and that the law of the Lord is perfect for reviving the soul, rejoicing the heart, and for enlightening the eyes, to make the simple wise. Now, isn't that surprising? We usually think of laws as just rules to obey so we don't get in trouble. But the law of the Lord revives our souls, makes our hearts rejoice, and enlightens our eyes while making our simple minds wise. A different perspective, isn't it? A different way of looking at the laws and the rules that we obey. And it's a special law, too, that they're talking about. Then God spoke all these words, it says in our Exodus passage today. God, our parent, creator, sustainer, divine one, in whose image we are to reflect to the world. This God spoke all these words. Now why? Why did God speak these specific words? It might surprise you to know that there are not many places in the Bible where the author of the passage claims that God directly spoke the words that are written. In fact, in all of the Bible, only in Exodus 20, here in this verse, will you find the phrase, God spoke all these words. Most of the books of the Bible are carefully composed, inspired descriptions of ancient events, laws, poems, stories, and lessons for us to analyze and interpret, so we can apply God's message to our lives today. For example, the special relationship God had with the people of Israel, as described throughout the Old Testament, is a metaphor for the special relationship we have with God as our creator, sustainer, protector, liberator, lover, and forgiver. But throughout the Old Testament, when you read about this special relationship that God had with Israel, you will only find in Exodus 20 where it says that God spoke these words. The sacred scriptures help us, though, understand the world and our purpose in relationship with God. And in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 3:17, it says that the Holy Scriptures equip us to do God's work. Equip us to do God's work. Yet no other passage directly states God spoke all these words. God spoke all these words is such a powerful way to introduce the Ten Commandments. Sorry, I have to get a drink. So why do these verses contain so much power? The commandments gave the Hebrew people, and now us, structure and boundaries for their wandering behaviors. And so this is a great introduction for tomorrow evening when psychologist Ron Bauer is going to talk about boundaries and being your authentic self. That really was one of the foundational reasons that God gave these commandments, to give the Israel people boundaries and to give us a sense of how to guide our lives, how to live our lives. So still today, we need these Ten Commandments because they instruct us how to be holy and to how to have a heart like God. Have you ever thought that one of your purposes is to have a heart like God's? These commandments provide a formula for healthy relationships. They give us a sense of purpose and equip us for harmonious behavior with our family, with our neighbors, with all that we meet. One way to look at them is to see that the Ten Commandments are Dr. God's prescription for healthy and happy living. When I wrote Dr. God, I realized how much that sounds like Dr. Oz. So you have to make sure you get a distinction between the two. Dr. God's prescription for healthy and happy living. And so today I want to especially focus on the fourth commandment as an example of God equipping us to do good works in the world by first setting aside time to be holy. The fourth commandment is basically about keeping the Sabbath holy. And that sounds so simple, but it's hard actually to make it not like any other day off of work or any other day when we feel like we should just sleep in or play around. So for devout Jewish people, keeping the Sabbath is the most important weekly ritual in their faith tradition. And I think we as Christians maybe have lost some of that sense, you know, that Jesus practiced the Sabbath, and I think we have maybe lost some of that connection to the Jewish faith tradition that really can teach us how to keep the Sabbath well. The Jewish way of keeping the Sabbath day holy involves lighting candles on Friday evening, saying prayers of gratitude to God, rereading the creation story, and talking about how God rested on the seventh day. There's also blessings and partaking of wine and bread, and quality family time is prioritized. And then on Saturday, their Sabbath day, they go to the synagogue for worship and prayers. And then they go home for a special meal that connects to their synagogue time, connects to that time of prayer and worship, so that before the Sabbath ends on Saturday night, this special meal, also with the lighting of candles, connects it all together very holistically as a Sabbath. The Jewish tradition calls the Sabbath Shabbat, which means to end, cease, and to rest. And those who follow Judaism show reverence to the Sabbath ritual as if it was a weekly holiday rather than just a routine day off of work. The Judaism 101 website, which I highly recommend if you ever want to know anything about the details of Judaism, this website called Judaism 101 is very helpful. And it says Shabbat rest means more than physical cessation of work. It implies taking oneself out of the ordinary, out of the routine, out of the rat race. And this kind of rest gives the opportunity, they say, to recreate our spirit and restore our soul. Shabbat is a time that is set aside to take notice of the wonders around us. I think that's a beautiful way to think about what we are supposed to do on our Sabbath. So there is much we can learn from the Jewish tradition of Sabbath rest. And this reminder of how Judaism keeps the Sabbath holy made me ask myself, do you keep your Sabbath holy by recreating your spirit and restoring your soul on Sunday? Think about it. What is your way of keeping the fourth commandment? Now, I'm so thankful that you have, all of you here, have included today coming to worship as your way of honoring the Sabbath today. And in Wayne Muller's book, Sabbath, Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of the Heart, he explains that the Sabbath helps us remember what is most important in our lives. And I think keeping a church going is one of the most important things we can do in our lives. And as a child, I remember the routine of always going to church just got embedded in my soul. And now if I'm in a place where I can't go to church on Sunday, I feel really empty. I feel like something's missing in my day. And I think that's because we all yearn for this time. We all fill our souls up when we're here with this sense of God's love and forgiveness. And Mueller says that the Sabbath itself says to be still, to stop, take time to rest and eat and drink and be refreshed. And in the gentle rhythm of that refreshment, listen to the sound the heart makes as it speaks the quiet truth of what is needed. Listen to the sound the heart makes as it speaks the quiet truth of what is needed. So by changing our routine one day of the week to slow down, to worship and pray together, we are given a chance to joyfully remember who we are and whose we are. This day has been set aside from our busy week to encourage us to count our blessings and to be grateful for the deep, loving care that Jesus has for each one of us. And then, after basking in the glow of God's love during this time, then we are to go with renewed strength and serve on behalf of Christ for those who are out there who feel abandoned and for those who need to see the compassion of God in your eyes or in your voice over the telephone. Mueller also says, once people feel nourished and refreshed, they cannot help but be kind. And the world aches for the generosity of well-rested people. But God allows us to define our own way of keeping the Sabbath holy with an understanding that the purpose of the Sabbath is not just to rest, but to enhance our ability to do God's work of providing for the poor, advocating for justice, promoting compassion, and peacemaking. So I believe God gives the freedom to choose how you keep the Sabbath holy because we have a God who loves diversity. You see it in all of creation that God loves diversity. So God allows us in our faith practices to be diverse in the ways that we keep the Sabbath holy too. So let me close with a familiar Jewish midrash, is what it's called, which is a teaching story that a rabbi would share with his students or her students. And the teacher asks in this story, how can we know when the night has ended and the day has begun? A student answers, you know the night has ended when you can distinguish a goat from a sheep. And the rabbi shakes his head. And a second suggests, you know the night is ended when you can distinguish between an olive tree and a fig tree. And again, the teacher shook his head. And then immediately, the student disciples began to argue with one another about another idea that they had. And finally, they gave up, and they said, answer your own question, teacher, for we cannot think of another good response. And so the teacher spoke, when you look into the eyes of another human being and see a brother or a sister, then you will know the night has ended and the day has begun. In the beginning, God created diverse forms of life, and then on the seventh day, took a Sabbath. Then God, a while later, realized the need to create these commandments to remind us of all of this creation story and remind us about the purpose of the seventh day. The commandments are meant to keep you healthy, holy, and happy. So however you choose to keep the Sabbath holy, may it be a time of rejuvenation, honoring God's prescription of Sabbath rest. My hope is that the more you attend church here, the more you will feel healthier, happier, and have an awareness that your heart is filling and filling with the love of God pumping through it. You make the Sabbath holy by using this time in worship to empower, restore, and inspire you to do God's work in the world. So may God in some way speak to you a blessing for your own diverse and unique way of honoring Shabbat. Amen.